Hello, I'm Professor Liu. I'm here with art prof teaching artist Kat Wong. Welcome to our video. Today's video is a trick clash video. Kat and I are going to debate about Salvador Dali's painting, The Persistence of Memory, which I think probably some of you guys watching have seen before. If you would like to grow as an artist, we've got everything you need here at Art Prof. Critiques and tutorials. I believe the Persistence of Memory is at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. Should have looked that up in advance, but I'm pretty sure that's where it is. And it's a very famous painting. And I want to explain to you guys before we start the debate how Crit Clash works, if you've never seen this before. We assign a point of view. Today, Kat is going to argue against Dali's painting. I'm going to argue for his painting. Now, what we say in the debate may not necessarily match what we actually believe in real life. You guys can play a guessing game and see who's acting and who is not. And at the end of the Crit Clash, you get to decide who won the debate. People are asking in the chat, hey, Kat is not Jordan. Yes, you guys are really perceptive. Jordan was having internet problems. His audio was breaking up. So Kat got 2 minutes' notice to come on to this Crit Clash. So thank you, Kat, for saving the stream.
And
All
thank you,
right.
whoever that was, for noticing I wasn't Jordan.
We have a very smart audience, Kat, right?
Really, I think I'm the spitting image of Jordan.
All right, before we dig into the debate, I just want to talk to you guys a little bit about Salvador Dali and who he was. Because, wow, he was a lot more than just a painter. He was actually one of a group of the surrealist artists. So he hung out with people like Max Ernst, René Magritte, Juan Moreau, André Breton. And he really was one of the main surrealist artists to push that movement. The thing about him is, in addition to all his paintings, which are bizarre and dreamlike and explore the subconscious, he was a real performer in real life. He had very eccentric public behavior. He craved attention. He used to walk around with this like long cape and walking stick. He had this ridiculous mustache. And I guess he used to walk around talking about what a genius he was. So, yeah, he was definitely an entertaining artist, I think, to say the least. Okay, let's take a look at The Persistence of Memory, which was created in 1931. And people have all types of interpretations about what they think this work is about. And you guys should tell us. Tell us in the chat while we get set up. What is your interpretation of this painting? What do you think this piece is about? Dali described the watches as being, quote, the Camembert of time. A lot of people theorize that the ants on the left-hand side on the watch are meant to represent decay. That's a motif that he's used many, many times in a lot of his paintings. And I guess a year before he painted this piece, he started this thing, he used to call it the paranoiac critical method, which was basically self-induced paranoia and hallucinations in order to make his art. You guys got all that? All right. Kat, can you dig in to argue against the persistence of memory?
My gosh, okay. Well, I guess my arguments against the persistence of memory would just be in line with my arguments against Salvador Dali as an artist as a whole, because I just find his practice quite gimmicky and something that isn't like the only reason why he's famous is because he did it first. And whenever, especially when you mentioned that part where he's self-induced paranoia, was it, in order to create his art? Like, what a low feeling to create, and what, how are you going to get inspired by something like that? It kind of reminds me of all like the frat guys I've seen at art school going like, oh, I take drugs to make art and I'm so inspired. And they all end up like looking the same. And also, it's just like they keep doing it over and over again. And once you see that, you're just like, okay, this is you as a person. This is your art. I don't really want to partake in that. And it's all starting to look the same. And I think it's pretty in line with Dali's style and the way he creates art. All of it begins to look a little bit the same. It just so happens that persistence of memory has been like the one to get like really famous. But if you look at all his art, it's always the same colors, the same lighting, the always the same sense of nothing I wish to aspire to be is happening in these images, if that makes sense.
Well, are you saying that because he doesn't fit your artistic aspirations, he's not a good artist?
No, but I just like I wonder if I could see a little bit more breadth in his work, considering he's lived a full lifetime. All of his artworks are starting to feel the same, and I'm like, wow, like how many years did he live? Like 50 plus, I don't know, 50 plus years. That's all you've done for like 50 plus years? I would like to see something more. And just like persistence of memory is just one of like many of like sort of the same flavor of art he's done.
Yeah, but I don't think that's fair to be against an artist just because their work looks cohesive. Because, look, if you work professionally as an artist and you have a patchwork quilt portfolio, everything looks different, that's not going to work. It's too fragmented. And I have to disagree. I think what you're saying actually is that the images are stylistically similar, which I think is totally fine. And that's what you're trying to push. Because, in terms of the imagery, wow, you don't get more bizarre and strange. I mean, these images transport you to another world. And that's incredible. I think so many people are so rooted in reality, and yet so many of us are wanting to escape that so much of the time. And his artwork lets you do that.
Lets you escape into his world of paranoia every single time.
Yeah, but just because it
I don't
starts with
know, I
paranoia
think.
doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah, well, I guess it depends on how you call it. You may call it cohesive, but I just think it's like gimmicky and just the same thing I see over and over again. I don't think it deserves the word cohesive because when you say cohesive, it should have some relations and still look like a body of work. And yes, Salvador Dali's whole body of work looks like that. But the thing is, it's not cohesive. It just looks the same every single time. It's like the same kind of feeling you get whenever you look at it, the same colors, same lighting. It's just like, and he always relies on like these bizarro images, going like, hey, like, let me have a melting clock and see if you can recognize the true depth behind it.
Christina
Like,
is saying
okay.
memory is elastic. Ripple of Aqua saying peace reminds me of the dentist office where I'd be made to sit in the chair and stare at it. Wow,
No.
that's a interesting choice for a
No
dentist
one
office.
likes the dentist. There's a reason why you're sitting in a dentist looking at this painting.
Wen is saying his work reminds me now of the Monty Python opening animation. Stephanie Cecilia says, reminds me of Carl Jung. He gave himself self-induced schizophrenia to create better work. And Sterling says, when I look at the piece, I think about how you may want to forget can persist in your memory and haunt you. You see, Kat, now you look at all those comments, all right? They're so diverse. Everybody can sink into Dolly's mind and take away something that feels personal. And that, as an artist, is very powerful, that we can feel that we can make his world ours.
I'll make the argument to say that everybody said something very different, and therefore we don't even get into Salvador Dali's mind at all because everyone has an extremely different interpretation. In which case, like, what are you trying to communicate?
I think he's trying to communicate a lot. Like, for example, I read that in the background, these cliffs that we're looking at right now in the upper right-hand corner, that those are actually the cliffs of Catalonia, which is where Dali grew up, I guess. That was his home. And I think he does bring something personal to it. But the thing is, you can imagine that landscape as being anywhere. And so there's this elasticity to the interpretation that I think is wonderful.
I'm like
Don't you fling
laughing.
your face at me.
That's so rude of me. Okay, I'm so sorry. Well, anyways, I don't know. Like, when you look at the other surrealist painting, like Magritte's stuff, like what kind of famous painting did Magritte do? He did this "Ceci n'est pas une pipe," the "This is not a pipe" painting, right? And that's kind of been like the iconic like painting that you see everywhere, kind of similar to the Persistence of Memory. But I think I watched a documentary somewhere of Frick, what was her name? She's like a modern artist. She's a performance artist. Her name starts with like Marie
Marina
something.
Abramovich.
Yes, there we go. Marina Abramovich. And she said that like her whole artistic practice is supposed to be like a lemon juice squeeze in the eye during a dinner party. Like you might have the most wonderful dinner party, eat the most delicious food, have the most wonderful company and conversation, but you're going to remember that one moment, and that's the lemon squeeze in the eye, no matter what kind of night you've had. And I feel like this is the sort of thing all surrealist artists are trying to achieve. They're trying to achieve that one lemon squeeze in the eye. And I think that's such a gimmicky low trick that it's just like so easy to pull off that it's not even worth mentioning anymore. So whenever I see the Persistence of Memory, I'm just like, this is a lemon in my eye. Like, of course I'm gonna remember it, but like not for like wonderful reasons, just because it's the one thing that stuck out that was terrible.
But it's memorable, correct?
Oh my God. Do you want to be memorized, like memorable as a squeeze of lemon juice in your eye? Is that the kind of impression you want to leave as an artist?
Well, but see, it's not literally like that. It's like you think about, okay, lemon in your eye, that's sort of like a physical thing that would like hurt, okay? We're talking about him seeping into your head and making an impression. Don't you think art is all about making an impression?
Wow. Yeah, but there are different ways to make an impression. You could be the nastiest person ever. That could leave an impression.
Let's see in the comments. Camden is saying, I love how when you look at each piece, there's literally nothing realistic happening. However, it still seems like you can recognize something's going on. 10,000 Crows is saying, why is it that Dali's bizarre imagery is considered cohesive, not considered an assortment of random shapes and objects? Ripple of Aqua says, I think you're winning so far, Clara, but Kat has a point about how there being so much diverse interpretation that there really is nothing that the artist is communicating effectively. See, all right, we gotta step it up because you have some people who are giving you a little too much help, Kat. So I'm gonna step it up now. Okay, we're gonna pull out the big guns. So here's
Clara, I've only had 2 minutes of preparation for this.
that's true. I have been thinking about the stream a week, so maybe we'll give you some like consolation points at the end, Kat, just because I feel
Never
so
mind, I
bad
don't
for
want that.
you. All right, so you're talking about how there's so much being communicated. Okay, but here's the thing. One of the things that the surrealists were very concerned with was dreams and the subconscious, these very undefinable ideas that everybody can relate to. I mean, like, how many people have ever said to you, like, you talk to a friend and they're like, oh my God, I had this dream last night and I couldn't describe what was happening, but it was so real. And I think what's really cool about his work is that he's showing things that don't exist, but they do feel real. Like, if you look at the way he paints, like this painting is called Still Life Fast Moving. It's doing these fantastical things, these lemons and knives are like shooting back and forth, but they're beautifully painted. Like I can recognize, wow, the sheen of that knife. I can see the texture of that apple. And I mean, that's the whole thing about surrealism is that it messes with your head. It's so real, but it's so much part of something we can't define.
If it's part of something that we can't define, what would we even like want to?
Well, because don't you think there
Sorry.
are so many things in life that you can't define?
That's true. But at the very least, I would have wished that Salvador Dali had showed something to like to juxtapose that. Everything he's ever done was about things that you can't define. In which case, like, why even bother defining anything? Because his whole collection, there's nothing to like make that contrast with. In which case, like, how are you going to keep being interested every single time you see a new Dali work when it's never going to be defined?
But the thing is, I think he does give you some little clues. Like, okay, we're looking at this shot right now. We can see the melting clocks and everything. Like, we know those are clocks. Like, those are defined. But what he does with them is so revolutionary because it's like he's stretching time. Time is such a rigid concept for so many people. And here he is saying, oh, it melts like Camembert cheese. I don't think a lot of people have the guts to make statements like that.
Yeah, but like once you look at it, you're like, damn, that's Camembert cheese clocks. All right, moving on. Why would you think so hard about it?
I don't think that's true because the ants make you think about
The ants,
decay
okay, cool.
and things
Yeah.
rotting.
Okay. Well, anyways, like interpretations aside, let me argue against Dali's technique this time. This is like my biggest pet peeve when looking at paintings or drawings or anything illustrative, but I hate it when it has this like white light that's very reminiscent of fluorescent light. Like Salvador Dali always has this like very flat lighting that like it seems like it's from above, and then the shadows that are cast are really harsh and black. And no color, there is no color involved really in that case. And like everything is the local color, if that makes sense. Like if there is a desk and it is brown, then Dali paints it as brown. Like if you had an orange light or a blue light, that local color changes into something that is far more interesting. But in Dali's case, he always uses this fluorescent lighting technique, which is just like so boring to me.
But see, you can't hold the rules of reality for an image about the subconscious. Like, I don't think
Okay,
that's
it's an image
fair.
about the subconscious. He can make any lighting possible. Why is he choosing this fluorescent white lighting every single
Maybe
time?
because light doesn't matter in the subconscious.
Jeez.
Nanny is saying, is this the first time that maybe Clara loses? Nope, because you know what? I got my
No,
butt
yes.
kicked so hard by Jordan when we were talking about Bob Ross. Oh God, that was so bad. I was like arguing against the Easter Bunny. Oh man. Miguel Acata is saying, some of Dali's works don't look like, quote, real dreams to me, but post-produced images of what he expected a dream to look like by adding random stuff. Paula Perez says, I think the lighting situation adds to the dreamlike look, though. Okay, well, Kat, why don't you respond to Miguel's comment about post-produced images of what he expected a dream to look like by adding random stuff? What do you think about that? You wanna he gave you he's giving you a little help here, so you can
Oh
jump off
man.
of that concept.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, like, I think, wait, who is it? Miguel, right? Miguel? Yeah, I think Miguel puts it quite eloquently by saying, including the word random. Random is very different from cohesive, Clara. And I really, yeah, it does feel like a random assortment of objects that honestly, he's not giving a lot of help to the viewers in terms of like piecing things together. It just feels like he cut out a bunch of images from a magazine and just pasted them kind of randomly into a painting.
He has to hand it to you on a silver platter. I think that a strong artist will expect the viewer to work a little bit because if he just tells you everything, it's boring. Then you guys are going to complain that, oh, well, he explained it too much. So I
Right.
think it's a good balance.
Well, I think it's only fair to let the viewers work, as you said, a little bit. In this case, Salvador Dali is letting the viewers just take the whole thing and run with it with whatever direction they feel like it. And that's not a little bit. That is pretty much the whole show. The view it's up to the viewers to like make this into such a great painting. And you know what? It's become so memorable because everyone's just like been taking their own interpretations and doing that. But I just feel like if you don't have some intent that is delivered in the end, then why even have a piece? Like, in this case, if you're saying that, if you're saying that viewers can just take whatever they want and then just like interpret in whatever which way, then why even have art in the first place in terms
Because,
of
Kat, some
communicating?
things in the world are chaotic. Some things are not what you want to be. They are not defined. They are confusing. And I think he's really tapping into that. entropy, the one concept I learned about in chemistry, that all things go to disorder. That's what he's showing. Things don't have to make sense at all.
God, but he's done this for 50 years of his life.
Come on, chaos can last
The
way longer than 50 years, I think. But let me go
same
back to the
thing.
technique because I gotta
Okay.
disagree with you. It takes mega technique in terms of handling oil paint to make images like this. Like, do you guys see? Look at this. This is a tiny painting. It's so small. Like, the first time I saw it in New York City, I was like blown away because I always thought about it as being a much bigger painting because look at this. That is a crazy amount of detail. Like, the line work is so crisp, it's so smooth and elegant. It's really hard to paint surfaces that are that smooth and fluid. So, whatever lighting, you can say whatever you want, but you can't deny the scale of this piece and the intricacy of it.
I can deny
You can, but can you back it up?
I'll give it to Dolly that you do have to learn a certain level of oil painting technique to get that level of detail and that level of smoothness. However, after that, it's still a growing process. There are plenty of things that you can use oil painting for, and there are plenty of things that you can render and mature in different techniques. However, Dali keeps using the same very smooth painting technique in all of his paintings. And yes, they are very small and they are detailed. However, it's very easy for oil paint to get it to be that smooth blending, because it's like a very slow drying medium and you can go over it many, many times and it might not get muddy depending on the colors you use. But he just uses the same technique. Like, he learned this one technique, and he's like, I'm good for the rest of my life. And use it in every single one of his paintings.
Nani is saying why he took the topic of cannibalism. I don't know. I mean, we'd have to read up on him more. I mean, he was crazy, guys. Like, if you just watch, there's actually some film footage of him. I feel like I watched some film documentary about him. I mean, wow, he talk about eccentric. He really knew how to keep people entertained as a person. Neboja is saying so much of art is inaccessible to the general public. Dolly's art is easy to interpret. It's inviting to those without an upbringing that prioritize art and culture. See also Rupi Kaur's poetry. See, exactly, Kat, okay? Like, you can't make things so complicated in terms of, like, oh, they have to have an intent and it has to explain things and the lighting has to be just so. Like, you can't have all these rules about how art is supposed to be made.
If we can't have any of these rules, Clara, why do we create art in the first place?
Oh, ouch! Because we're running an online educational platform in 2020 for people who are stuck in a global pandemic. That's what it all comes back to. Sterling is saying, can you talk more about entropy and disorder? Yes, I can, because you know what? That whole year of high school chemistry, that is the only thing I retained. That was the lowest grade I ever got in high school, actually. I never got a C in any other class. Okay, so here's the thing about the entropy cat, is that he has moments in his paintings where things look very calm and very controlled, like this landscape in the upper right-hand corner, which is Catalonia. That's a very beautiful, serene landscape. And then he throws this like wrench into the combination of this strange object figure in the middle that's just floating ethereally, and then things start to break down even more. And I just think that represents life, everything changing, right?
What? What? The fact that you said that object floating there, in my mind, I was like, see, that is lack of technique. He can't ground it on a surface.
Oh, but it takes technique to make something float, right? To create atmosphere and a sense of ethereality. That takes technique as well.
Yeah, like lack of atmosphere and lack of ethereality, that was what makes it float.
How is something gonna float if there's no atmosphere?
Jeez, I don't know. Just look at Dolly's painting, I guess.
But getting back to what we're talking about painting technique. I will say the thing about oil paint, yes, it is easy to like blend it like crazy. Okay, that is very hard to, that is very easy to do. That's inherent in the medium. However, I think it's really hard to get things to have a broad range of textures and also to do that with things that are not actually like that. Like if the world actually had melting clocks in existence and he could just like, oh, pose a melting clock and like put a lamp on it and observe it, I'd be less impressed because I'd be like, oh, he's just doing like a still life. But he's not. He's like inventing things and making them believable. That's hard to do with oil painting, and it's very impressive.
You say different textures, but I don't really see that many textures going on. It's just sort of like the mountains of Catalina, and everything else is like one texture. Does that make sense? It all feels like very smooth.
But what about the rigidity of the box on the left? I mean, you can feel that clock like seeping off. You can feel the gravity of it pulling down towards the sleekness of the side of the box.
I would argue that that's not a case of technique, but that's just a case of like a good use of silhouette, in that one instance. But but anyways, what was the original thing we were talking about? Was it like entropy? Someone like commented like wanted to talk about entropy or chaos or something like that.
Well,
I
they
mean,
were just
ultimately,
saying to talk more about entropy and chaos.
okay, well, just to address that, I do feel like entropy and chaos are like, they are interesting to depict and they can be really strong subject matters for art. However, you can't depict something that's chaotic without also depicting something that is peaceful. In which case, Dali's art, if it's always chaos, then it's not chaos at all. Like, what? It doesn't mean anything.
I think it does. I mean, are you going to say that about Hieronymus Bosch? I mean, his paintings are chaos. They don't make any sense at all.
They're chaotic, but you know what? Bosch depicts many different scenes, like the Garden of Earthly Delights versus like there's the delightful part and then there's the hellish part, right? There are two very different themes, like very clear going on. The technique, the chaos of the technique, it informs both the delight and the opposite of that. However, in Dali's case, his technique is just like dreams.
Yeah, but he has the word memory. Memory is in the title, the
Paranoia.
persistence.
Persistence of memory, dreams.
Ripple of Aqua is saying, isn't floating objects like lesson one to unlearn when drawing? Like no floating still life or body figure creates a complete image. Yeah, but see, here's the thing, Ripple of Aqua. I bet you anything, Salvador Dali learned that lesson, and then, like the incredible artist he was, he made the
He erased
decision
it
to
from his
unlearn
mind.
it.
He just like erased all memory of it from his mind.
No, I think it was deliberate because that's how much of a genius he was. He was walking around saying he was a genius, and he was right.
You want to agree with. You gotta walk around and agree with someone who just proclaims himself as a genius.
You know
No.
something? Confidence matters. If you're going to be an artist, you have to believe in who you are and what you're doing. If you don't, nobody is going to come along with you.
I'm almost convinced. Oh,
All right, guys, it is time for you to tell us who won the Crit Clash. And we can feel bad for Kat, who had 60 seconds
heck?
notice, so maybe we'll give her some consolation points. But I would like to know who won this Crit Clash. And tell us why. Nathan is saying this is really hard, so is 10,000 Crows. What? No! Jennifer and Sterling say Cat won. Wait, no. Oh, Slutnir got me. Okay, hang on. This is so difficult. Camden said me. Cat? No, Cat's one ahead. Okay, somebody's got. What? No! Wait, what? I don't like this. This is not fair. Cat cannot come into a stream with 60 seconds prep time and kick my butt. That is not okay. I'm so sorry, Prof Lou, but I think Cat won. Cat wins for zero prep. I feel so like wounded because like, you know, Cat, if you had had all week to think about it and we had had a discussion about it in advance and really thought it through, then I'd be like, okay, that's fine. But this is
To be
not cool, guys.
fair,
I don't like this.
yeah, you've had a difficult standpoint, especially since you're wrong. Sorry.
I'm sorry to say that Cat won. Feel like she did bring up some good points about there not being variation in texture. And tonight has been hilarious. Clara, I love you, but Cat won. Ooh, Shen Jin, I like you. Clara won. Clara, I love these great clashes. Cat, you know something? Okay, here's what we're gonna do. Instead of me being wounded, you know what I'm gonna say? I'm gonna say, Cat, I'm so proud. You were my student and you have surpassed your teacher.
I'm delighted,
Isn't
thank
that the
you.
ultimate, that the greatest student surpasses their teacher?
Well, not when you put it that
Well, see, here's the thing. Like, I have these incredible students who I work with, and I have to say, I like the fact that they're not my peers. Because, Kat, if you were my peer, I would just be pissed all the time. I would just be so mad and jealous. But instead, I'm so much older than you that I can just say, Kat, I'm so proud of you. You're amazing. I can just like gawk at how awesome you are. So it's cool. It's totally cool. I can handle this, somebody less than half my age, probably kicking my butt online. That's okay. That's fine.
I'm super honored that
All
my
right,
coworker
guys. If you would like to join us on Discord, I highly suggest it because we have this new server and the link is in the video description below. You guys in the chat, tell everybody else what an awesome hangout Discord is because we have crit channels that you guys can hang out with. You can have dorky art conversations. It's a really cool place. Hope you'll take some time to look at artprof.org, which is totally free, and that you will subscribe to our channel and join the Art Prof family because we're the best. Of course we are, right? And thank you so much to our top Patreon supporters who make all of this possible. Thank you to those of you who voted for me. The rest of you guys can, have a nice life. That's cool. That's fine. Whatever. I don't need you in my life anymore. So next time, you better switch your thinking when you show up for these crit clashes. Anyway, guys, we'll see you next time. Everybody, stay safe.